welcome to the Future Thinkers Podcast. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. And this podcast is all about the future.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode number 9 of the Future Thinkers Podcast. Yuvi and I are really excited about this one. This is something we've been very passionate about for a long time, since we started our journey in entrepreneurship, actually before that. This episode is about self-education.
So I recently got an email from a young man who had just entered college, and it was his first semester in college, and he was so confused about his path in life, what he should be doing. And it seemed like he was just going to college because that's what he was supposed to do, but he had no idea why he was doing it. And so we wanted to talk about education and to address some of these questions that I'm sure a lot of people have, and even people who have maybe already gone to school and now they're working in jobs, but they have no idea what they're doing or why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people have that approval-seeking attitude when they're trying to make decisions for their life. I see this in Reddit all the time and a lot of the technology subreddits. Like young people are like, how can I get involved in nanotechnology? Or how can I get involved in these different industries? And they're seeking permission from people. They're seeking advice about their own lives.
They're seeking a script which to follow.
Exactly. So we want to kind of dive into the psychology behind why people are looking for these scripts and why they're doing certain things like going to school and listening to their parents' advice about what they should be doing in their life. So one of the things I want to talk about is our stories, like why we went to school. Both Yuvi and I went to school after high school, and we studied things that we thought we would gain a career out of after we finished. So why don't you tell your story, Yuvi? Like, what did you go to school for and what did you expect would happen?
Yeah. I just wanted to make a side note for those of you guys who are not from North America. When we say school, we mean university or college. But yeah, I went to university straight out of high school, and I'd always wanted to be an artist. And so when my dad pressured me to go to school, that's exactly what I did. I thought that I would, compromise my dad's desire for me to get a higher education and my own desire to be an artist. So I studied things like languages and philosophy and photography and art history. And by the middle of my second year, I was so frustrated with my professors because it seemed like they were just talking out of their ass. Like, they seemed like they had no experience in their own field. They had never actually worked in that profession. And their knowledge was entirely theoretical. So my photography professor, his photography work was terrible. And I couldn't imagine how he could be teaching photography while not having been a good artist. So I dropped out of school, and then I was working for a year and a half. And then I went back to school, and I thought that I would study something a bit more practical, but something that I was still interested in. So I studied psychology. And although I had fun studying it, eventually I realized that what it was preparing me for was to just be a worker bee. Like, with a bachelor's degree in psychology, my options were to work some crappy administrative job or maybe be a counselor, or maybe I could work at a lab again for minimum wage. But basically my options didn't match what my aspiration in life was at all. So I dropped out again in my fourth year of university. I tried both things. I tried studying something practical, which essentially made me a worker bee, and I tried something creative, which was bullshit in a different way because those professors had no experience in real life.
Do you think there was a viable job opportunity for you in those areas?
Yeah, but I had to create my own job, and I think that's exactly the point, that if you want to do something creative, you have to create your own job. You can't rely on the system to provide that job for you. Now, that said, I think there's still jobs that you can go to school for quite successfully. Like, if you want to be a dentist or a lawyer, then probably going to school is the best option for you. But if you want to do something a bit more independent, if you want to do something creative or social related, like in the social sciences, then I think you got to think about it from a business standpoint rather than a interest standpoint.
So how did your parents respond to you dropping out?
Very frustrated, very disappointed. My dad's reaction was, why don't you want to learn? I guess in our parents' generation, they think that going to university is the only way that you can get a deeper understanding of something. But of course, that's not true today, where, you know, entire university courses are available online, and there are so many books being written by experts, by people who are actually working in the field, are actually experiencing these things and experimenting with these things.
Maybe from an entrepreneurial standpoint, it looks like they're teaching because they couldn't do it. I think in a lot of cases that may be true, especially in like business or in arts classes and stuff. I went to recording arts, studied music production. And I figured, like, I was really passionate about music, and I was going to make this career in music. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I was going to figure out a way and become a recording engineer. And I assumed, and this is what I think a lot of people did that went to that school, that I assumed that because a course existed in recording arts, there must be tons of jobs available for people taking recording arts courses. Like, there must be some sort of job after graduating. And that was the hilarious thing about this, is that the supposed experts in that field, the people who are at the top and supposedly teaching us how to be like them, be experts, be recording engineers, this thing, they're teaching something that is in an industry dying and becoming antiquated. The music industry has gone through huge decline. Digital piracy has changed everything about the way musicians make money. Musicians have far less money to spend on recording because record labels aren't spending a ton of money on musicians anymore. So there's a lot more of an independent approach to recording. People are just buying their laptops, getting their software, and they just go ahead and learn how to be their own recording engineer. So this whole idea of recording engineers is like this like dinosaur job, like it's going away. So I discovered that about a year of the way through my program, and I ended up quitting my program. But I think the common thread in both of our stories is that, you know, we believed that school would create opportunities for us, and that didn't happen. And our parents, my parents actually didn't really like the idea of me going to recording arts school. They were kind of like, yeah, there's a lot of opportunities in trades. Like, go study how to be an electrician or a plumber or something. Because they were looking around them and just being pragmatic. They were like, that's what's happening now. So you should go do that. But I can understand your point of view of, like, you know, the parent that believes higher education is the only way to get education, to, you know, go to school, go to university. And that's the interesting thing, is that belief is this mentality that I think is left over from the industrial age, when people had to perform the exact same kind of job day in and day out, and when they still needed people to follow a system and pump out widgets on a factory line. I think those beliefs are putting people in a really dangerous position, because they're trusting a system that doesn't work anymore.
Well, a system that's changing really, really fast. Jobs are getting automated, and people are losing their jobs like crazy right now in the West. There's actually a cool infographic that I found about how likely is your job to be automated and taken over by robots in your lifetime.
Is your job repetitive? Robots.
Is your job manual? Robots.
Yeah. Basically, anything that's not creative, robots.
Yeah.
Which, in our opinion, is it creative? Robots. Eventually.
After the singularity, yeah. Exactly.
So I think the problem is people are still deluded. They still think that, I guess on my side, actually both of our sides, we believe that we could pursue any desire on a whim, and that markets and jobs would just bend over backwards to accommodate us. Like, we would, there's definitely a job. There's a school, so there has to be a job at the end of the education tunnel.
Yeah, this
is
where
we were wrong.
I think this is a typical Generation Y mentality. You know, we were raised, so Generation Y is people who are between, I think, 18 and 33. So we were raised in a time where that whole, like, self-empowerment, you are a unique snowflake, that was really big, and, like, no child left behind, you know, that sort of mentality. So we were raised with this idea that we were so unique, and people will just, you know, bend over backwards because we are so talented, and jobs will just appear out of nowhere to accommodate our talents.
And then society reinforces this idea by, you know, these billion-dollar businesses, Facebook and, you know, Instagram and these kind of things that give people that, like, celebrity light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I could be famous. I could be a big, successful billionaire by doing the exact same things that they did. And that doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah. And also we have this huge cult of celebrity, which is also the same thing, you know, like these superstar athletes and superstar musicians and fashion designers who people aspire to be like without actually thinking of what goes into it.
You talk to the average person who's maybe a bit more pragmatic and realizes, no, I'm not going to be a rock star. No, I'm not going to be a professional athlete. And the future starts to look pretty grim because there's this pressure to be pragmatic about everything. Like, I don't have time to discover myself. I've got to pay bills. Like, if I don't go to school for something, I'm just getting behind the competition. Everyone around me is just going to be launching ahead and I'll be left behind. And that belief, I think, is so silly because it reverses the order of what you should be doing, where people think they've got to go to school, then they've got to go get a job, they've got to save some money and buy a house and get some stability, and then they can figure out what they want to do with their lives. And that's like, that is so fucking crazy and backwards because that never happens anyway anymore. Like, that security doesn't exist anyway. So you're striving to trying to find this light at the end of the tunnel that just never shows up. The ironic thing about it is that by focusing on what you truly want, there's so many more opportunities and there's so much less competition to build your own business, to build your own service, to, you know, find a need and fulfill it with your unique skill set. Why do people still have this assumption that school is going to prepare them for a job? Maybe people who haven't had a long-term career don't understand that employers are no longer looking for certificates. They're not looking for any of that shit. They don't care that you went to school because they already understand that school doesn't adequately prepare you for the real world, for the world that is changing as fast as it is.
By the time you graduate, all that stuff, all that information you got in school is outdated anyway.
Mm-hmm. So what do employers look for?
Experience and fit. So yeah. Like, you know, are you the right type of person for the job?
I think experience is the key word here.
Yeah. Like, when you're applying for it, they're looking for experience, but how do you get the experience without having the job?
It always seems like something that gets pushed off, that there's not enough time for, it's not worth it, I don't know what I want, and I don't have the time to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Would you say that that is based out of fear?
I think it's like the fear of your own success. Because people perceive the risks as being greater than what they really are. I think the real risk is following the existing script because it doesn't work anymore. So your risk of failure is much higher than you think it is. And besides, you're competing against millions of other people who are doing the same thing. Instead, you could be competing against just a few ones who are a bit more brave and, you know, are taking the alternate path.
Mm. Yeah, I think people are afraid of the uncertainty, and that's why they're looking for the script all the time. They're afraid of what lays ahead of them when school isn't telling them what they should do, when employers aren't telling them what they should do, when parents, society, they're afraid of that vacuum that is left behind when all gatekeepers are removed from the picture.
And so they have to decide for themselves. And that's scary.
I think you know what I'm going to say here. I'm going to give you 3 seconds. We'll say it at the same time. What is the ultimate solution to that fear of uncertainty? 3, 2, 1,
education.
Yeah. So that's something we've both learned on our own is that, like, when we pick up these self-development books, when we pick up these business books, when we pick up industry-related books, we get more confident about our decisions. We lay out a framework for executing plans. We start seeing the world in terms of how we can take advantage of opportunities and provide value. That confidence just comes from education, just comes from knowledge. And in a world where institutionalized education cannot provide that for you, I think a lot of people are left wondering, well, how do I figure out what I should learn? Like, what is the script to learn what I should learn? They're still, again, looking for that script. I mean, I'm curious of what your answer is to that. Like, how do you discover what you need to learn? How do you make your curriculum?
Well, I think, first of all, you got to figure out what your real values are, the deep, deep values. I'm not talking about like, oh, I like money and I like cars and I want to have a bigger house. Those are not values. They're status symbols, and B, they might be interests. So I think you got to think about the deeper values. Like, what do you care about? Like, for me, it's challenging the status quo, creativity, propelling the world forward in technology, in self-development. Those are my values.
What about your business value?
Enabling other people to be creative and enabling other people to help make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm. Like my value, my utmost value with our business is inspiring people to do what inspires them by telling stories. Like, I love stories. I want to use storytelling to inspire the world, to make a dent in the universe. And that's what our whole business values are. So it's interesting when it comes to make tough decisions about hiring, firing, ideal clients to work with, how easy those decisions become when you just have to look back on your value system and you decide, does this fit? Yes or no? And you don't have to emotionalize the decision anymore. You don't have to worry about it. Does it fit my values? No, then I do not do it. It makes life so much simpler and easier, and you get this added benefit of attracting the kind of people that share your values. And, you know, if you're working only with people who share your values, that's a fun work situation.
Yeah.
Then that's your answer, is eliminating that fear and creating your own curriculum is understand your values.
Yeah, number one thing. Yeah.
So how do you understand your values? How do you figure out what is important to you?
Well, obviously we've talked about Simon Sinek and start with why. So first ask yourself, what do you really like doing? What do you enjoy doing? What are you passionate about? You know, when you do this thing, just time flies and you could, you know, do it all day long and you don't get tired and you just love talking about it to others. And then maybe go a step deeper and ask yourself, why do you really enjoy it? And try to get to the bottom of it to find what your core value is. So things like freedom and creativity and helping other people to achieve their highest potential, things like that.
What about people who can't think outside of the box? Like they, when you ask them what they would do ideally, if they had any option, and they think of a different script, but it's still a script. Like, I want to be this job because there's a framework already built for it, because I think I would enjoy it and I would get paid okay for it. But how do you respond to those people when they just respond with a lack of imagination? I'll answer my own question. I think it's such a typical question, but what would you do if you had $1 billion? What would you do with your time then?
Sometimes that's still not enough for people to figure out, because I think in the Western society, you know, especially with people doing so many things that they don't really want to do, people would resort to just pleasure-seeking activities. If you ask that question of a teenager, a lot of them would say, well, man, I'd just party all day long, you know? But in reality, you'd probably get sick of it after a couple of weeks and then start thinking deeper. So maybe you should just do that. Maybe you should just... No, I'm not giving that advice. No.
Take a boatload of ecstasy and just go nuts for a week. Perfect.
No, I'm not giving that advice at all. You know, like, and maybe that's why people take a gap year after they finish high school. They go and backpack in Thailand and to find themselves. Although I don't know how effective that is, but maybe it could be. Maybe, you know, they realize that just pleasure-seeking activities don't provide any meaning in your life. And after a while, you kind of have to find something that you really care about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one, because I feel like all of our desires and goals and values have been defined quite concretely in the last year. And that was after we started traveling. And I don't know if it's because of traveling or because of the networks we're hanging out with now. It's probably a combination of things. But I've definitely, from traveling, learned that it's not external things that make me happy. It's internal things. It's my internal self-talk. Like, it's how I get up in the morning and what do I say to myself when I first get up? Like, what do I believe my day is going to look like? That 100% dictates my happiness. I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical to think that, like, going off and experiencing all of these things to define for you what you want. I don't know. I'm a bit skeptical of whether that works or not.
Yeah, I don't think it works. And that's, you know, that's why I was saying I don't really know if that's a good path. I think maybe just getting it out of your system. When I was a teenager, there were a few things that I was not supposed to do. And one of the things was that pursue my passions, that I was not supposed to do it because I had to do something more practical. So that was, you know, being an artist. I wasn't supposed to be doing that, not seriously anyway. And also, of course, there's the other things, like I wasn't supposed to be partying. So I think I kind of lumped those two into one thing, because I wasn't supposed to be doing both of them. So I was doing both of them because I was rebelling. So that's why I kind of, you know, said that maybe people just need to get it out of their system, and eventually they'll realize that that's not their life's calling, but that could end in some unhealthy habits for sure.
Actually, in just hearing you talk now, I think I might have figured out what it was for me that helped me really define what I wanted to do. It was setting a couple of like baser goals and achieving them, and then setting more goals and achieving them, and setting a few more goals and achieving them, and then realizing that I can set my mind to things and I can make them happen. So why am I setting the fucking bar so low all the time? Why is like the biggest thing I want to accomplish in the world is to get to Thailand, and I don't think of anything past that? And that's what I realized after I arrived. I was like, oh, wow, this was way easier than I thought it was. There's so much more out there that I could achieve. Like, why was I setting the bar so low? So I think that now has like bled into everything where I'm fighting against myself not to think small. I'm trying to like challenge myself to think bigger and bigger and bigger. But that definitely kind of like opened the floodgates for me, is, you know, what I thought was possible.
I guess a lot of people do have that, you know, if you ask them, what do they really want to do? They kind of automatically think of something and then maybe dismiss it because they think it's not possible.
So how do you build a curriculum for yourself after you've discovered your values, like what you care about? I would say just pick up a book.
Yeah. I think first step, you know, if you're totally, totally new and you've figured out what your, you know, core values are, read the top 10 books on that subject or in relation to that subject. I want to be an artist. That's not really a value, but, you know, let's say you have that idea. Well, pick 10 artists in your modern time that you really, really admire and read their biography. Figure out what kind of, not their script, not to follow exactly what they did, but what kind of qualities they had. Like, were they really driven, really inventive? Like, did they meet as many people as possible? What kind of qualities did they have?
If you want to be an artist, top 5 books in that profession. Simulate what it might be like to live that life by reading books. I think that's the important thing, is that sometimes that just paints a picture for you and you can realize whether you want it or not. You can simulate things without having to making a ton of mistakes. But this self-motivation to educate is what frustrates me the most when I talk to people who haven't read a book in a year. Or they're like, oh man, I wouldn't listen to an audiobook. That would take so long. I'd get so bored. I wouldn't, you know, read a reference book or a career book or a self-improvement book or anything like that. That drives me nuts, because it's so easy to change your life by using and implementing other people's experience who have done it before you. Like, why do people assume that they're so smart that it's not worth their time to read something, that they're just going to go through life just based on experiences? I'm just going to go out there and I'm going to experience it and see if I want it or not.
So this actually brings me to something that I realized recently, that in education, there are 3 pillars. And if you're missing 1 or 2, then you're not educating yourself effectively. And so these 3 pillars are information, experience, and feedback. So information is, you know, when you're reading a book, you're gaining insight, and then you got to go and apply it. You can theorize all day, but if you can't do something with it, then what's the point? And then once you've applied it, you got to get feedback from somebody who understands that. So don't get feedback from your aunt or your professor, especially not your professor. No, sorry, I'm kidding. Don't get feedback from your aunt or your professor or your sister or your mom or your barber or whatever. Get feedback from somebody in that industry who succeeded at that thing that you want to do.
Yeah, who's doing exactly what you want to be doing, or a very close variation of it. Ignore all other advice.
Yeah, and then once you do that, you got to go back to the first part. You got to get more information, then apply that information again, and then get feedback again. So it's a cycle. And what I see a lot, and in myself included, I would ignore one of these major pillars. Like, I would dive into theory and not have any application. And I would get feedback, but only on the theory part. And I would get feedback from the professor, not from, you know, the person actually working in that field. And I see the opposite, too. People who are all experience but no information. So they're just trying stuff without, you know, picking up a book and learning about, maybe somebody has already figured it out, but you're still banging your head against the wall.
And last thing I think we should talk about here is motivation. If you know what you want to do, you know that the materials are out there, you know that the mentors are out there, how do you motivate yourself to achieve that goal, to achieve that vision? It's to have a vision, is to visualize what your life looks like in this goal, this like vision of what you think your future could be. Visualize it down to like what your refrigerator looks like, what your kitchen looks like, what your, you know, your day-to-day life looks like. When you get up in the morning, you go to work, or you do whatever you want, you know, what does that look like? And try and create visual references for yourself. I think that's been huge for us, is that we've done visualization for so long. You know, if we wanted something, we Googled the images of it, we made a collage of all the things we wanted, and we stuck that on the desktop background of our computer. And that actually has been amazing. I would actually like to publish some of the vision boards I've made over the years, because like one by one by one by one, each of those things drops off the list. And it's like, oh, geez, I might have been thinking really small. Anyway, I think that's probably it. We've got Indian food waiting for us, begging to be eaten. So yeah, thanks for listening to the episode. We really like this topic, so we want to hear more from you guys about it. And we're hoping that with our new business, we've actually relaunched our business. It's going to be at giantsupernova.com. We're hoping to start telling stories that are related to these topics that we're so obsessed with, that we love so much. So I mean, we just launched something with John Myers, the guy that was on our last podcast, which is the Earth on Fire movement. And we're going to be telling the story of digital nomads and, you know, people who are living the kind of lifestyle that we are living. And we want to do more stuff like that. So if you think of a story that you think would be really worth telling that is related to this kind of futurology stuff, you think there's any information that we'd like to hear, definitely drop us a line. We always get back to people. So either on like anything, Reddit, Twitter, email, comments on our website, any of that stuff, we'll respond. And we want to open up some dialogues and stuff, because there's so many cool stories and so many opportunities that just need some light shone on them.
Putting out a beacon.
Yeah, definitely. All right, thanks for listening. Show notes are on futurethinkers.org/episode9.
And if you guys like our podcast, it would really help us out if you left us a rating and review on Stitcher or iTunes or whatever podcast app you're listening to.
I'm bugging the cat right now.
The cat is spread eagle.
The cat doesn't give a shit.
And yeah, that's it for this episode. See you guys next time.